Well, this gentleman and I have been talking Padres baseball for many, many years, probably going back to the last time they were in the playoffs, Craig. I think it's true. But the podcast will make the Padres great again. You're actually doing it, but yesterday didn't help, so we're thrilled to have you on today. I can't wait to hear your report.
Oh, always a pleasure, Marty. Yeah, we joked on the last podcast and said we should change the name to Made the Padres Great Again. You're welcome. But I think there's still a long way to go, obviously.
Well, yesterday was, I mean, it was a crazy end. I love Grisham, and I told you this, I don't know, four or five shows ago. I love the way this kid plays, and he had the big home run yesterday. But, boy, you know, they've got a few people banged up here and very important pitchers. What should we expect today from an effort from the ball club? How important is it? And a little bit of a review of where they're at.
Okay, a lot to unpack in that jumbo box. Let me start with the top level, which is how important are the Padres taking today's game? Well, Zach Davies will be the starter. He's probably only going to go a couple innings, maybe if he was super efficient, three innings, because the Padres are going to need him for either game one or game two of their wild card playoff round. Mike Clevinger played catch today, apparently had a very encouraging report. According to manager Jace Tingler, there is still some hope that Clevinger is going to be available to the Padres in the opening round, but I think there's a lot of uncertainty. Anytime you're dealing with the elbow, there's a lot of uncertainty. And same goes, unfortunately, for last night's starter, Denelson Lamet. When he came out of the game, I will tell you, Marty, quite frankly, Padres fandom was down in the dumps because you saw, you know, hey, we've got twin aces going into the playoffs. Oops, ace one is on the shelf. Oops, looks like ace two is on the shelf. But the news after the game was very encouraging to the Padres. They are speaking as if he could possibly still start the game one on Wednesday. So with Lamet and Clevinger, let's just say the anxiety level amongst Padres fandom has been elevated to code red. Even if they're listed as the starting pitcher, everyone's going to be on pins and needles until they get through a couple of innings, go into the dugout and come back out without checking in with the trainer first. So big time concern about the top of the rotation. And as you know very well, Marty, with this year's brand new playoff format where there are no days off in the middle of series, you know, you start to think about what's that going to favor. Well, it's going to favor the clubs that have deep starting staffs, yep, deep pitching staffs, and the clubs that go two or three deep and then hope to ride those guys. Well, you're not going to be able to do it. And, you know, furthermore, for the Padres, you probably, even if they come back, can't ride guys like Lamet and Clevinger, who have been dealing with bulky elbows.
Boy, good answer.
Hey, Craig, Bill Lasky joining in here with you and Marty. Tatis Jr. kind of got cold. A lot of guys throwing at him a little bit, getting the money easy in the box at one time, 6-for-43 with no home runs. He had a home run yesterday, of course. Tell me a little bit about his troubles.
You know, Bill, great to hear from you once again, first and foremost. So he did get pretty cold, and I think there was a sense that he was wearing down a little bit as well. You know, here's a kid who plays at an energy level higher than most human beings, never mind most pro ball players. And I think that maybe caught up with him at least a very tiny bit. We saw the bat slowing down a little bit, but you also mentioned it. Pitchers have been really rough on Fernando Tatis Jr., slamming him inside and then throwing that breaking ball and trying to get him to chase. I think he got into a couple of bad habits. The advanced metrics seemed to suggest during his slump that he was still getting the exit velocity. He was still getting the barrel percentage, so that maybe he was hitting into a little bit of bad luck. I know everybody who's on the Padres side of the bandwagon said, let him get a home run and kind of get back into the swing of things. And I think so far the series in San Francisco, you know, in the doubleheader in the ninth inning of game one, he absolutely smoked an RBI single. I was like 110 mile an hour. And then he did the same thing on the home run. He barreled it and he absolutely crushed it. So I think we had a list this week of the three things that the Padres had to do to feel good about the playoffs. And number one was stay healthy. So put an X instead of a check mark in that box. But number two was get Tatis going. And so far, so good.
Well, the Padres really here. It's a four-game series. The one is part of the makeup from down in San Diego from a couple of weeks ago. But do you think, you know, there's sometimes in life, if the Dodgers are playing the Giants are out of it, the Giants would do anything in the world to knock the Dodgers out. The Padres, that kind of a hungry team?
I think the Padres probably don't care that much whether the Giants make the playoffs or not, just to be frank. You know, I think that they've done everything they can do right now. The hay's in the barn. They are the four seed. And whether they go 2-0 or 0-2 this weekend, they're the four seed. So, you know, the other teams have to figure out who they're going to play. They have no control over that either. The one thing they could potentially control would be to knock the Giants out of the bracket and put in another team, you know, Brewers or whoever. But what does it matter, really? I don't think the Padres fear any team in the National League necessarily. And, you know, whomever's in that eighth spot is a potential for you to meet in the second round. That's a long-winded way, Marty, of saying I think the Padres are going to treat these two games like a tune-up.
Okay.
I would be very surprised to see Manny and Tatis in the lineup beyond the third inning tomorrow, and I wouldn't be surprised to even see a fan appreciation day type lineup tomorrow, especially if the Padres happen to win today.
Okay. Hey, Craig, there's a player on this team that I've been watching, and he's got hot real fast. His jerks and some Jerkinson Profar, and he raised his average up almost 40 to 50 points, and he's a guy that's really played good defense for him, and he's really been the quiet kind of leader at the bottom of the order. He's played so well all year, but you don't really hear too much about him. Give me your thoughts on what kind of season he's had.
Boy, Bill, you couldn't be more right in terms of him being a quiet contributor that people aren't talking about, and it leads to a really fascinating decision for rookie manager Jace Tingler in the playoffs. Now, let me unpack that. At the beginning of the year, Profar, of course, has always been a delight and a darling of general manager A.J. Preller, who scouted him from the very beginning when he was with the Texas Rangers. And Preller has always had an eye for Profar. There were discussions in multiple years prior that the Padres might trade for Profar. And then it finally came around where they had the opportunity to nab him, and they did. Profar started the season very patient at the plate, but he could not hit water if he fell out of Kurt Bavakwa's boat. He was really struggling and got a little bit lucky in terms of injury situations because first Eric Hosmer was dealing with a stomach issue that kept second base open while Jake Cronenworth played first. And then when Cronenworth stole the second base position with his great play, Tommy Pham at that point had broken his hamate bone, and left field was a gaping void. And Profar went out there to left field, and not only did he play very well in left field defensively, but he really started to pick it up on both sides of the plate, kind of abandoning a little bit of the walk rate, getting more aggressive, and really seeing results from both sides of the dish. So now it leaves the Padres, Bill and Marty, with a little bit of a conundrum because Eric Hosmer's back, Tommy Pham is back. Both guys are coming back fast from hand injuries, a broken finger for Hosmer and the hamate for Pham. And while they've been okay, neither one is exactly lighting the world on fire since returning. So if you play the veterans that you fully intended to play, you've got no place for Jurickson and Profar. If you play Profar, you've got a veteran like a Pham on the bench. So it's a tough one, especially for a rookie skipper. He's looking for those guys with experience. Pham's one of those guys, but Profar is the guy who's playing better.
Well, interesting. Craig, it's great having you on. I don't know if we're going to have another opportunity this season, but you know your Padres, and you made the Padres great again. I got to hand it to you. You say you certainly did. So it's fun having you on, and we'll hope that, we'll see what the Padres do here, but this playoff's going to be fun, so I appreciate the time. I really do. It's always a pleasure talking with you.
The pleasure's mine, and in the rare occurrence of the second-round playoff matchup, Division Series, Padres-Giants, I'm here for you boys.
Okay.
Thanks, Craig. We appreciate
your fingers crossed. All right, thanks, Craig. All right. That is Craig Elston. Always fun getting the get the lowdown on the Padres. All right. Bill and I will be back. I'm going to try to squeeze in this day in baseball history. It's only about 4.5 minutes. It's a very special day, 1961. It involves Roger Maris and the old Oriole catcher, Gus Triandos, who I've had on the show before. Met him many, many, many years ago. Tells a pretty good story. So let's try to squeeze that one in. Then Bruce Jenkins coming up next right here in the Sports Leader.